Well, we are going to talk about character tonight. We're going to talk about good character, I hope. And the biblical definition I want to use for that is character is devotion to God that results in actions or attitudes that are pleasing to God. So the foundation of it is devotion to God. And if you don't have that, you're not going to have the character no matter how you try, unless you live your whole life under pressure. So when you are working on your foundation, your devotion to God, one of the things you can do is think about all He's done for you. And this is a pretty good week to do that, to think about the initiative He took to make us right with Him, to think about the pain and what He went through so we could know Him, but also just to think about what He does every day for us. And I want you to think about your life since August, the beginning of the school year, and not if you had a lot of quiet times or if you checked off the boxes or if you did the right things, but do you know God better today than you did in August? Ephesians 1:17 says, I pray that the Lord and Father of Jesus Christ will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know Him. And sometimes we do know God through study, and sometimes we do know God through pursuing Him intellectually, and sometimes the Holy Spirit really turns a light on in our heart. I remember this fall, I had a relationship I had a lot of tension in. I've always had a lot of tension in it, and I probably always will. And I had just gotten off the phone with this person, and it had moved into tenseness, and it frustrated me, but I went on to bed and went to sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought about that, and I thought about how much I did not want tension in that relationship, and I started to cry over it. And it was like the Holy Spirit came to my heart and He turned on the light and He said, but I am the Prince of Peace, and you and I will never have that tension in our relationship if you don't choose it. And no matter what you do or what you say, I'm the Prince of Peace. And you know, I would think about those words at Christmas, and Isaiah it says, a son will be born to you, and he will be the Prince of Peace, everlasting God, the mighty Father, the wonderful Counselor. I know those aren't in order, but I would think about that. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came and turned on the light in my heart that He was the Prince of Peace. And as you think about your year, what are some things? How are you getting to know God? Not just checking off boxes or doing the right thing, even though that's right, but how is God becoming more real to you? What do you appreciate about God today that you really just took for granted a year ago? Jeremiah 30:21 says, I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? What are you devoted to? Are you devoted to being close to God? What is there in the secret times or in your mind that you would choose over God? What are the things that in the hard times you really would have a fight between you and God? Do you focus on the things He's given to you today? Psalms 116:5 says, He is full of compassion. Now, if we got a cup and filled it with water and just filled it so it's totally full, there's nothing else you can put in it. The Bible says that God is full of compassion for us. How have you seen His compassion? Or Psalms also says that He loads us daily with benefits. He is not sitting in heaven saying, Gabriel, we need to give Laura Kennedy a benefit today. Could you think of something to give her? That's not what He's doing. He is so excited. He is up there loading us with benefits. Loading us. We can hardly carry all the benefits that He gives us. The question is, are we attentive? Are we alert? Do we see those benefits that He is giving us? Jeremiah 29 says He's planned for us. God, the God of the universe, has plans for us. One of the girls on our team this week said one of the things she really appreciated is she didn't have to be nervous about graduating because she knew God had a plan for her. God did. Now, these people over here across the street, when they're seniors, they may be really worried about when they graduate. And personally, I was scared too. But we can grab a hold of the fact that God has plans for us. So as you're walking through today, are you alert? Are you aware of God and who He is? So our character should flow out of a devotion to God. It should result in actions and attitudes that are pleasing to God. There are 28 passages in the New Testament that talk about character. 28 passages, not 28 characteristics, 28 passages, and that's what we're supposed to be going for. But to tune it down, what we need to look like is who Jesus was, what Jesus looked like. And this is pleasing to God. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says we should make it our goal to please Him. What pleases God is who we are, not how much we know. We can study the Bible, we can do all the right things, we can know all the right verses. What pleases God is who we are and how we act. Who is your audience? Is your audience God? Do you have an audience of one that being God? Or is your audience other people? Is your audience friends, your professors, your audience your girlfriend or your boyfriend? Is your audience yourself? Or are you living to God? Are you playing to God? Character is who you are when you are alone. It's what you think about that you're not going to tell anybody about. It's not what you do, but who you are. And then out of who you are, actions flow out of that. So what we're going for is to look like Jesus. Do you know that there's only one place where Jesus said who he was in the inner man? He said he was gentle and lowly in spirit. When you think of Jesus, are those two of the first words you think of, gentle? I don't usually think of that word first. We are to look like Jesus. Romans 8:29, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. How do we do that? One way we do that is 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, and we all reflect the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Another word for reflect is contemplate. As we contemplate the Lord's glory, the Lord's glory is Jesus. As we look at him, it says we are being transformed. And that word in Greek means something that is being done to us. We are not doing it. We are not transforming ourselves. He is. Our part is to look at Jesus. One of the pictures of Jesus, or one of the words of Jesus, I'm sure you would say, is he's a God of love, person of love and of grace. And as I've thought about that, I've realized that really has not been very characteristic, naturally, of my life this calendar year. You know, you can think of a good day. You wake up refreshed because you've gotten to sleep every night. There have been no fire alarms this week. You got up. The weather was great. You went to class, and your first class, you did great on the test. You didn't expect to, but you did great. And then the next two classes, they're canceled. And the weather's great, so you can go outside and you just enjoy it. And everybody just is communicating you're important and you're valuable, and the guy or the gal you like is liking you back, and everything is great. And you go to dinner, and you're starting to eat, and here, across the room, comes the person you don't like, or that you get irritated at real easily. But you know, today has been a good day. Hey, I can handle this. It's no problem. So they come and sit down, and really, you do okay. But the next day, you wake up, and there was three fire alarms in the night, and it's cold, and it's rainy, and it's dark, and it's windy. And you've got to go to your class, and you hate it, and people are just kind of rude to you that day, and it's just yucky. You get your test back, and you failed it, and you really needed a good grade, and it's just been an awful day. Well, then that person comes into your room that you don't like. Then it's a lot harder to be kind to them. Oh, I've had one of those days since January, and it's really bothered me because I thought, you know, in the good times, if I can respond right in the good times, out of myself, in the bad times, I can't respond right, and I'm supposed to have the God of the universe who raised Jesus from the dead in my life, and his power in my life, something is wrong. And so I began to think about that. Why is it that in the hard times I don't respond well? And so what I started doing in the mornings is I started saying, God, number one, I don't love these people, and these are the people I'm going to meet, and these people irritate me. Some of them, not all of them, a couple of them, every once in a while, irritate me. And I may have a really hard time with them today, and I know that out of myself I cannot love them. It is not there. But I also know that you, the God of all power, lives in me, and you want to love those people through me. And so I'm going to say I can't do it, but I ask in faith that with your grace, you'll respond through me when the situation comes. Now, sometimes you have those split seconds where you can decide how you're going to respond. I'm not usually like that. I usually just, it's just right there, and it's after I responded that I think, oh, no. So it's something that I have to do in the morning. So I just acknowledge I can't do it because I can't. And then would you do it, God? And in faith, I step out to ask you to do that. And he really has done that. Now, he doesn't do it every time because I don't take his grace every time. I don't step out in faith every time. But that's okay. God loves me, and I have his approval, even on those bad days or those times when I sin. But he is changing me, and there will be a lasting change. It's an up-and-down battle. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and Colossians 3, 12 through 5, there are 19 characteristics that we are supposed to be like. Now, those do not include the ones we're supposed to put on. Those are the ones put off. Those are the ones we're supposed to put on. And I'm just going to read them, not saying the the two that are the same. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forbearance, forgiveness, thankfulness. That is not me in my natural self. It just isn't. And there's no way that I can be like that, even on a good day. And most of us have seen Kedrick juggle four items. And I know I haven't taught him. I assume he spent a lot of time learning to do that. But there's no way that I could learn to juggle 14 items. There's no chance I could do these 14 character qualities. It is not in me. It is not in you, but it is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can provide everything we need in every opportunity to respond right, but we need to admit that we are desperately dependent on Him. Without Him, we cannot do it. So how are some ways to do that? One is, first of all, to decide, I'm going to devote my life to moving close to God. He is going to be my heart's desire, my heart's cry. And then another is to recognize a need of a character quality. And sometimes that's real easy to do. It's very obvious. Maybe people come and tell you what your character needs are. But the Holy Spirit usually is working. And He'll put His finger on some things that He wants to change in your life. So you recognize a need. You see where you on it, where you are in it, and you see what God values. One thing you can do is begin to see the wrong patterns. I dealt with anger. And I really wrote out when I got angry, who I got angry with, why I got angry, to see if I could begin to see some patterns that I could, of my own, begin to change. Pray about it, and then as God gives you things to do or during the day, you obey. In His faith, in His grace, you move out in faith, telling Him that you intend to obey. Today, I do not intend to sin. I intend to obey you, God. And then meditate on who God is. Not on what the problem is, not even on what the character quality is. Who is God? And meditate on that. Your responsibility is total cooperation, to obey Him, to focus on Him. The Holy Spirit does it. He changes us. You don't get it by gutting it up, by doing it on your own. Like I said, you can do that for a while, but unless you have a lot of willpower, that's not going to last for a long time. And if you do it on your own, you're not letting the Holy Spirit control you. And so, He is not free to work. He's not free to love through you. You don't get it by trying to please people. I was trying to put off anger, and so I was trying to put on kindness and gentleness and patience and realized one day I was doing it to please these people. I wasn't doing it to please God. I wasn't doing it because that's who Jesus is. And so our motivation is not to please other people. It's to please God. And sometimes when we let the Holy Spirit control us, He may not make the same choices we'd make. Sometimes we may not look quite as good in front of people as we want to because He's doing a changing in our inner man, deep within it. When does He do it? Well, He's doing it all the time. He's doing it in the good times. And in the good times, look at God. Focus on God. Use those easy times to make mileage with the Lord. But then in the hard times, you can really sense when He's moving. James 1 says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your life, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. It doesn't say when one or two trials comes in. It says when all kinds of trials and temptations come in. And kind of the picture I get is a bunch of people in a phone booth. You know Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when they've gone to the past and they're coming back to the present to give the history presentation? Well, here they are in the phone booth, and they're getting more, every stop they're getting more people to get in that phone booth. They've got Socrates and Lincoln and Napoleon and Genghis Khan, and come on, come on. And they're excited about getting those people in that phone booth, and you know they're crowded, and it's hot, and it's stinky, and it's junky, but they're, come in, come in. That's how we're supposed to be with trials. Come into my life, not to resent them as intruders, but come in. No, you over there, you come in. Come into my life. I don't know about you, but that's usually not my first response to trials. I usually do resent them at first. It says, realize that they come to test your faith and to prove in you the quality of endurance, but let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you have become men of mature character, men of integrity, with no weak spots. I don't respond like that in trials. But if we learn to see the God behind our trials, we can begin to do that. Scott Haddon told me a story. Once he was working above an emergency clinic, and he got a call on the phone, and his wife was bringing their son into the emergency clinic. He cut his head open. She was in the clinic, and they needed help. They needed somebody to hold Benjamin down so they could stitch up his head, and Pam couldn't do it. So Scott goes down there to help. Well, you know, I'm sure when Benjamin saw his dad, he was excited. This dad is going to take me away from this pain. But Scott didn't do it. He held him down. He held them down because he knew that Benjamin needed his head stitched up. He knew that even though it hurt, that's what he needed. He knew what was going to happen if he didn't. He held him down, but he had the ability to let him go. Scott had the ability to hold him or let him go. But because of his love, he kept Benjamin there until his head was stitched up. And you know, that's how God is. God knows what we need in our life. He knows what's ahead. He has the ability to let us out from this trial. And the minute it's done what it's supposed to do, he will. But in his love, he's going to keep us there until that. And if when you're going through a trial, you cannot focus on the trial, even though it's hard, if you can focus on the God who is behind that, he may not have brought it, but he could have stopped it. Focus on that God. Focus on the one who loves you and who knows you and who is walking with you. But be honest with your feelings. God, I really don't like this. But don't live by your emotions. God, I don't like this. Kind of like me. God, I'm not excited about seeing this person. I don't like him today. Don't focus on your emotion. Tell God, acknowledge them, and then make the right choices. There's some barriers to developing our character. There are a lot of barriers, but one may be things that we need to put off. I said I needed to put off anger. You may need to put off anger or immorality or selfishness or materialism. There are just a lot of things. Maybe there's some things in your past you need to work through. You need to work through those. You need to put those off so you can put things on. And again, when I'm talking about putting things on, it's that you are cooperating with the Holy Spirit and he is changing you on the inner man. Another barrier to building character is our culture. Our culture is not really, our culture is more what those people were when Bob was up here and getting tied up. Our culture just kind of sucks us in to make wrong choices. Our culture sucks us in to not looking like Jesus. That's why our heart needs to be so attached to the Lord that the Lord has a bigger pull on us than our culture. Daniel was a man in the Bible who was living in an ungodly culture. He was one of the people who'd been exiled to Babylon, and the king made a declaration that everyone was to fall down and worship him. And he decided not to. He'd already decided beforehand that he was going to obey God and fall down and worship God. And every day what he used to do is he'd go home, fall down on his knees, and pray. So after he heard that declaration, he went home and he fell down on his knees and he prayed for God to help him. But there were some people who were following him, kind of watching Daniel, see if he'd mess up or if he'd follow the law. And that's when he was thrown into the lion's den. Well, Daniel had already made a decision to obey God. He also had friends who were going the same direction, who were trying to walk with God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'd encourage you, before you leave OU, that you have people that you are accountable in your walk with the Lord and your character. I know some men who graduated here several years ago, and they went to the BSU, and they were accountability partners together, and then they went through life, and one of them was ready to divorce his wife. Now, he really didn't care about telling his parents. He really didn't care about telling her parents. He didn't care about telling the church people. He didn't really care about telling their kids. But he did care about telling this accountability partner. And because of that, he chose to work through the marriage problems and not get a divorce. Today, you're going to face a lot of pull from your culture. Have people who will call you on decisions you are making that are not godly. Have people who will stand with you and walk with you through them. And Daniel also focused on God. He prayed. The skit talked about how free Bob felt. He thought so free, and that it was so good to not have all these do's and don'ts. Hebrews 11 talks about Moses, and he says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. There are pleasures to sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. We can have some things now. We can have some pleasure. We can have some treasures. But we will reap the consequences. What's ahead for us will not be good. So if you have blocks or barriers to developing your character, get help. Why should we have good character? One is our devotion to God, just a real grateful attitude. God, I'm grateful for what you've done for me. I'm grateful for what you're giving me right now. And because of that, I will respond in gratefulness and devotion. He commands it. He is God. His desire is for us to look like Jesus. And one day we will stand accountable to him. why I made this right choice, why I made that wrong choice. It's for our good. You know, I'm not real good with cars. I do know you're supposed to put gas in them and change the oil every 3,000 miles, which I have done pretty consistently. But that's all I did. And I didn't really look at the car manual. Now, the car manual was given to us, supposedly, so the car will last as long as it's supposed to if we follow it. Well, one of my cars, I came out of the shopping center one day and couldn't get it out of park. I'd messed the transmission up because I never put transmission fluid in it. Well, the transmission was ruined. Well, you'd think that was enough lesson for me. It wasn't. The next car I ruined because I didn't change the transmission fluid. And I was stuck on a two-lane Texas highway in the hot summer sun trying to figure out what I was going to do. I want you to know I just got another car, and it doesn't have a car manual in it, but I know the car manual, the 800 number, and I'm calling up Monday and having them send it to me. And the other thing I know to do is do my transmission fluid. But, you know, they did not send that car manual to put a bunch of rules on me or to make life harder. They gave it to me so that the life of the car would be as long as, would be as long as possible. I'm going to hold this. You know, the Bible is the same way, except God is a much kinder, much more gracious Father than any car manual writer would be. But the Bible is for our good. The Bible is so that we will live life how it's intended to be, not to be a bunch of rules, not to be a bunch of do's and don'ts, but to put our life together to make it the best that it can be. Isaiah 32:17 says, if we follow him, we'll have peace. Isaiah 48:17 says, if we follow him, we'll have peace. Isaiah 1:19 says, we'll eat the best from the land. John 10:10 says, he'll give us abundant life. Hebrews 11:6 says, he's a rewarder if we seek him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that we cannot even imagine all that he has prepared for us, the good things. Romans 8:32, he will give us all things graciously. Romans 8:31, he is for us. He is for us. Jeremiah 29:11, he has plans for us. So our God is a good God. He is a kind God. He wants the very best for us. A fourth reason to devote our lives to becoming like Jesus is that we would be lights to the world, that we would reflect his character. So I want you to take just a minute. I want you to think about your life. Are you devoted to moving close to God? Are you devoted to having God the number one priority in your life, no matter what happens? Some people have had to make life and death situations about if they're going to follow God, if they're going to bow down to other gods, or if they're going to follow God and die. We don't have that decision right now, but we have smaller decisions. Are we going to die to our preferences? Are we going to die to what we want? Are we going to die to obey God, just in the small areas? But number one, are there things you need to do to move closer to the Lord? Do you need to ask God to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you'll know him better? And all our lives, we need to be building that structure, that foundation. Or are there some character qualities, are there some things happening in your life that you know the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to work on this area. This quality needs to go. And you just need to go home tonight and say, God, I cooperate with you. Whatever you want to do in my life, it's okay. I can't do it. I really can't change it. I can put on some things on the outside, but I can't change me inside. You will have to do it.